David Sylvan from the Brilliant Trees album to start there, and Red Guitar and Mercury Music Prize winner Michael Kiwanuka with Lights from his current album. It's 18 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. An engineer investigating mystery power outages to a Scottish village has discovered they were caused by a spectacular murmuration of starlings. Didn't know they were called, it was called a murmuration of starlings.
I didn't know that, no.
Villages in Eth, near Falkirk, were bewildered by the brief early evening interruptions to their power supply. Initially, power firm SP Energy Networks was also unable to explain the problem, but their engineer, Neil MacDonald, finally solved the mystery when he spotted thousands of birds dancing on overhead power cables. The starlings were causing the lines to bounce and the power to trip between them, causing power cuts of just a few minutes in around 50 local homes. He captured the spectacle on his phone. It was a mass aerial stunt by these amazing birds, and in all my 14 years working for SP Energy Networks, I've never seen anything like it, he said. For all the birds looked small, the sheer number of them caused the wires to bounce up and down as they danced on and off. There's actually three wires between those poles, and when they clash together, the power will go off for around 10 seconds or so at a time. Now, that's what's been happening quite frequently, with some of these clashes causing wider damage and longer outages. So they're not respecting social distancing, are they, starlings?
Not.
I love those starlings as they sort of flock up into the sky. You get a lot of them around here. I was walking between Golfe-le-Jean and Jean-le-Pin one day, and the railway line across, which runs by the side of it, there are thousands of them just sitting on the railway lines, waiting for a train, obviously. I mean, I don't like pumpkin anything, really. I mean,
You're not allowed in the kitchen, so you won't be making anything.
I'm cooking on the 26th.
Oh, I thought it was your daughter that doing the... Your 25th, and you're doing the 26th.
She's doing the 24th. Then the other side of the family is doing the 25th, and I'm doing the 26th.
Crikey!
So they're having pie.
That's when you're doing your pie.
Followed by pavlova.
Well, we're going back to 1998 in the UK. It's when the Millennium Dome construction began. The Diana Princess of Wales tribute concert was held, and also the Ford Focus was voted the European Car of the Year. But question number one, a member of this group, which was nominated for Best British Single at the 1998 Brit Awards, poured a bucket of ice on UK Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott.
Chumbawamba, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And can you tell me their best-known song?
I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Do you know the title of it?
I can't remember it. No, well, I know the song, you know.
Well,
he drinks a lager drink, he drinks a whiskey drink.
It's Tub Thumping.
Tub Thumping, of course, yeah. Do I get a point for that?
Yeah, I'll give you a point for that.
Shame you couldn't have played it.
Well, if you liked. Question number two. What was the best-selling single of 1998? It was from Cher. What was it called?
Believe.
Correct. And finally, in 1998, in September of 1998, the Union Jack dress worn by the Spice Girl, Jerry Halliwell, was sold for £41,000. Which member of the group announced she was leaving in 1998?
It was Jerry, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
Yeah,
that was a trick question.
A trick question.
And which Spice Girl song went to number one in the UK in December of 1998?
That Christmassy one.
No, that was the year before. That was Too Much.
I can't remember.
Goodbye.
Were you leaving?
No, that was the song. Okay. Goodbye.
I think Emma Bunton should have worn that Union Jack dress.
You've got a thing about Emma Bunton.
I have, yeah. Do you mind?
It's a bit like Kate.
Kate?
The Weather Girl.
Oh, my brain's gone this morning.
Yeah, mine has too.
Can't remember what her name is now. Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, come on. You look at her every morning.
She follows me on Twitter as well.
Does she now?
She does, yeah.
Lucky you.
Oh, no.
It is KK.
No.
It begins with a K. Have a look. It always puts a smile on your face.
You only sin when you're winging. Oh, can't even speak now. I'll shut up.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Hi, big guy.
Hiya. Hi, Rob. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Henky, how are you?
This is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, very cosy. What have you got me for Christmas? What have you got me for Christmas? Don't pretend you didn't
hear.
It's
not what you got for Christmas. You know, what are you giving to people? What are you giving to society? Stop taking. Start giving.
What? I do my fair bit.
What do you mean?
I pay my taxes. I'm a model citizen.
Do you think?
I entertain the masses on a daily basis.
That is true.
Or
you've been a key worker this year. You've led the charge.
Thank you very much. Okay, a bit mixed the markets yesterday. Wall Street's waiting for this new coronavirus stimulus package, and the great white chief, Jerome Powell, spoke as well.
Exactly right. European stocks rose for a third straight day, boosted by better-than-expected business activity data in Germany and France. Stock 600 index up 0.8% at the close, though the banks fell off. The European Central Bank lifted its ban on dividends but imposed strict limits on payouts. European shares have traded pretty much in a steady range since mid-November, when they reached their highest level since late February in a rally that's been spurred by vaccine progress. So on Wall Street, all eyes were on the Federal Reserve. The US Central Bank said it will continue to support the economy through massive monetary stimulus until it sees substantial further progress in employment and inflation. Kept the monthly bond purchases at $120 billion. The majority of Fed officials continue to forecast that their benchmark lending rate would be held close to zero through 2023. At the close, the S&P 500 was up 0.18%. NASDAQ was up 0.5%.
Very, very precise, 0.18%. I normally say 0.2 myself, but there you go.
Well, you know, you're very cavalier with figures. I know the listeners appreciate a bit of precise data.
All right, so, all right, knock it on there. So what did you make of Jerome Powell's comments?
Well, I think it was pretty much as expected, saying, of course, the US economy's immediate growth path remains uncertain. They've got to tame the virus, of course, and that becomes important. It's looking a little bit more positive as you start to take into account the impact of the vaccine as you look towards the second half of the year. Piling pressure once again on the government officials to agree a stimulus package. That's, of course, been a difficult passage for the latest pandemic stimulus to be agreed by US lawmakers. A couple more days in order to get it done, I suppose. It feels like we're inching a bit like Brexit, inching ever closer towards it, but just a little bit out of reach at the moment. Will they be able to do it in the time frame given remains to be seen.
Okay, Bank of England, big day today.
Yeah, I think since the pandemic started, the MPC has been pretty aggressive in terms of its reaction. They cut interest rates to a record low of 0.1%, ramped up its bond buying program to £895 billion, extended the time frame for purchases until the end of next year. The extensive contraction that we've seen in terms of the UK economy, continued Brexit uncertainty, lacklustre inflation expectations has encouraged the MPC to signal that it is prepared to add yet more stimulus if required and would consider negative interest rates. MPC expected to keep rates on hold today, may consider reducing the bank rate to zero in the future, lowering capital requirements for banks and even offering more dovish guidance if we do indeed see a further deterioration. I think given the broad range of unintended consequences we said before, the introduction of negative rates in the UK still remains unlikely.
Yes, and Andrew Bailey firing a shot across the bows of people tempted to join the Bitcoin bonanza.
Well, Bitcoin's been an incredible performer, of course. $22,000 trading at this morning, tripled during the course of this year. Although we've seen in previous years it reach record highs and then go on to slump the year after. So it's a very volatile, speculative investment. And the governor of the Bank of England is probably siding with me in terms of how Bitcoin should be viewed in that regard.
Craig's already booked an appointment at the dentist. He's going to have diamond inlays in his gnashes now. You know, get in there while you can.
Be very happy.
Right, anything else on your mind this morning?
Let's do US retail sales, shall we? An important component, of course, of the US economy. Dropped more than expected in November, and the prior month was revised to a decline, indicating the economic rebound could be faltering. As the coronavirus surges, lockdowns are intensified. Lawmakers who have been talking about wrangle over the new stimulus package. Total retail sales decreased 1.1% from the previous month, led by weaknesses you'd probably expect from the likes of clothing stores and in restaurants as well. So, yeah, a bit of pressure in terms of the consumer in the United States filtering through to retail sales. Important they, of course, bounce back during the course of next year if the US is indeed to register a steady recovery.
And those lovely MPs are getting a nice winter break. Christmas recess starts this evening in the UK. Nice work if you can get it. But they may be hoiked back into Parliament if there's signs of an imminent deal.
They well may be. Of course, any deal between the UK and the European Union will need to be ratified by the respective parliament. And it does feel as if a deal is still on the cards. It sort of felt very gloomy, I'd say, Sunday, Monday of this week, but it feels a little bit like it can be done.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
French Prime Minister Jean Castex has said that people in France could begin receiving the coronavirus vaccine from the last week of December if the European Union's regulator approves the jab next week. On Wednesday, the Prime Minister and France's Health Minister, Olivier Véran, presented the government's plans for vaccine distribution to the National Assembly, a campaign which has been met with both mistrust and impatience by the French. The proposals will be debated in the lower house of Parliament before being presented to the Senate later today. According to a November survey by the French Public Health Agency, only 53% of French people want to be vaccinated, compared to 64% in July. It's among one of the lowest confidence ratings in the world. Meanwhile, figures for COVID-19 published on Wednesday by Public Health France have shown that France is still far from reaching 5,000 new cases of contamination, which the government had hoped to reach in mid-December. 17,615 cases of COVID-19 were registered on Wednesday in 24 hours. That's compared to 11,532 the day before. The health agency identified 292 new deaths in hospital in 24 hours, bringing the total number of deaths from COVID-19 in France to 40,942 since the start of the pandemic. The Monaco government has adopted a series of measures to facilitate the economic recovery plan using the extended Monaco for Business platform. In order to support economic recovery and help companies succeed in their digital transition, the government has defined an action plan based on three flagship instruments: the extended Monaco platform for businesses, the Blue Fund, and the digital workshops. The health crisis has demonstrated the importance of digital technology in helping the economy here in the Principality to rebound. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, His Serene Highness Prince Albert II of Monaco and his wife, Princess Charlene of Monaco, accompanied by their children, Prince Jacques and Princess Gabriella, handed out Christmas presents in Monaco. The royal family also attended the traditional Christmas tree ceremony. In national news, a Paris court has found 14 people guilty of involvement in the 2015 terror attacks. The January 2015 attacks on Charlie Hebdo magazine, a policewoman and a Jewish supermarket left 17 people dead. All 14 accomplices were found guilty on various charges, ranging from belonging to a criminal network to direct complicity in the attacks. Terrorism charges were dropped for six of the 11 defendants in court who were found guilty of lesser crimes. Couscous has been classified as an intangible world heritage by the UNESCO. The dish has been eaten since the Middle Ages and was introduced in France at the beginning of the 20th century by the first Algerian workers, then with the pieds noirs during the independence of Algeria. According to the polls, it's considered to be one of the favourite dishes of the French. The American soft drink brand Coca-Cola is to launch its first alcoholic drink in France in spring of next year. An alcoholic sparkling water, Topo Chico, is expected to hit supermarket shelves in France in April and will be available in three different flavours. After Mexico in September, the United Kingdom, Ireland, Austria and Greece in November, it will soon be on offer for the French to taste. And finally, the lucky winner is finally known. Less than a week after a historic EuroMillion draw of 200 million euros, the winner has presented himself at the Français des Jeux after several days of silence. The new millionaire, whose identity has not been revealed, has validated his grid online, with the payment being made in the coming days. The amount won is a record jackpot in France, but also in Europe, since the creation of the lottery in 2004. Previously, the highest win was held by two Britons, who in 2012 and 2019 had won 190 million euros.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, there were six games in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football. Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. A big win for Liverpool, who are 3 points clear at the top of the table after a 2-1 success at home to Tottenham Hotspur. Roberto Firmino got the winner late on in the game to leave manager Jurgen Klopp breathless.
Top game, top opponent, super organised opponent. Probably slightly more defensive than we would have expected, but it's because of how my boys played.
Southampton went third above Leicester City on goal difference, while Southampton got a point from a 1-1 draw at Arsenal. Leicester went down 2-0 at home to Everton with goals from Richarlison and Mason Holgate. Everton are fifth. Their boss is Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah, good week. We found consistency defensively, and that was the reason of these two results. That are good results, really good results, that keep us with a lot of confidence, with a lot of ambition, with motivation. But the season is long, but the moment is good.
Leeds United beat Newcastle 5-2. It finished 1-1 between West Ham and Crystal Palace, goalless between Fulham and Brighton. With the club in the relegation zone, West Bromwich Albion have appointed Sam Allardyce as their new manager after Slaven Bilic was sacked. Here's senior football reporter Ian Dennis.
Sam Allardyce has a track record of rescuing clubs from the threat of relegation. Blackburn, Sunderland, Crystal Palace. He also more recently transformed Everton's season. An adage of Allardyce is protect the point, especially away from home, which is ironic given the timing of Bilic's departure after the excellent result gained at Manchester City. Although in the bottom three, Albion are still in touch with the teams above them. Allardyce will give West Bromwich Albion a fighting chance of survival.
And for more football news on the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
I feel very sorry for Slaven Bilic. I mean, he got them promoted last season. They were hardly going to set the world on light in the Premier League, and he gets sacked. Not nice, is it? Christmas and everything. So you're top of the pile, then.
Certainly are.
Looking down on everybody else.
Not at all.
There are two games tonight. Aston Villa play Burnley and Sheffield United host Manchester United. In the English Championship last night, Derby beat Swansea 2-0. Cardiff were 3-2 winners over Birmingham. Middlesbrough beat Luton 1-0. Blackburn were 2-1 winners over Rotherham. Coventry and Huddersfield drew 0. And top of the table, Norwich were 2-1 winners at Reading. In the quarterfinals of the Scottish League Cup, Livingston beat Ross County 2-0. And Rangers were surprisingly beaten 3-2 away by St Mirren. Cricket. It's day one of the first test between Australia and India in Adelaide. It's a day-night test. India won the toss and they decided to bat. Last thing I saw, they'd lost a couple of wickets. They're now 41 for 2 from 25 overs. Rugby Union. Exeter's European Champions Cup game at Toulouse on Sunday has been called off because of a COVID-19 outbreak at the English club. Glasgow's home game against Lyon on Saturday has also been called off because the Scottish team played at Exeter last week. Now, the tournament's organisers are set to meet to decide the outcomes of the games, with reports suggesting the matches can't be rearranged because of fixture congestion. And in boxing, promoter Eddie Hearn has said that Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury may consider dropping their four combined world heavyweight titles to ensure that they can fight each other. Hearn apologised to the respective governing boxing bodies, but said the fight between the two British heavyweights eclipses all belts. Under the heavyweight division protocols, Anthony Joshua is due to fight mandatory WBO challenger Alexander Usyk next, while Fury is facing a legal challenge from Deontay Wilder for a rematch. The boxing world wants to see Joshua and Fury square up to each other, and large sums of money could come into play in a bid to persuade their respective challengers to step aside. Wouldn't have to ask me to step aside. I'd be running before they asked me. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almere Sea and the Var. The general situation is a depression 1,012 millibars over southwestern France. Winds are northeasterly, force 2 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,022 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,021 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 3 westerly winds, calm seas and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Looks like it's going to be mainly cloudy all day with some bright spells, light variable winds, top temperature 15 degrees, overnight lows 10 degrees on the coast, 8 degrees inland with cloudy skies. Friday and the start of the weekend, partially cloudy tomorrow with a high of 15, rain on Saturday with a high of 13 degrees. Finally,
Two men have been arrested and attained police custody in Nantes after fighting over a scratch card. But apparently they weren't winners. They were fighting over the ownership of the card that they believed to be worth €100,000. It turned out that it had been scratched incorrectly.
Yeah, money, the root of all evil. You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieroradio.mc. Anything goes for Feel Good Friday. Studio at rivieroradio.mc. David likes his suede. Europe is our playground. And that's a dig at Brexit, David. Sarah says Louis Armstrong, Wonderful World. And Alex would like to hear Frank Zappa, Moving to Montana. Yes, one of the only tracks on the overnight sensation that doesn't have a swear word in it. So thank you, Alex.